this evening, my friend. Thursday night, Full Guard Fight Radio. What's new, man?
Not much, man. Just another exciting week and doing this gig that we got here on Thursday nights, man. You know, as always, ready to go. Got things on the mind. Got some stuff I want to talk about and discuss. And, you know, we're going to have roughly the last 30 minutes of our show tonight kind of dedicated to a topic I'm really got on the mind, seeing a lot everywhere you look this week. So let people know now, you know, if you want to call in, we're going to open the lines up. Feel free to call. But before we get to all that, we got a great night with some guys going to war here on Maximum Fighting Championships 37 in May. So it should be a good night. And then we're going to talk to the owner and operator of Pro-Am Belts. So it's gonna be awesome, man. It's going to be a good night.
I got to be honest. I love Maximum Fighting Championships. I can't tell you enough how much I love them. I think it stems from Mark Pavlich and just the pure adrenaline and heart, and you know, I mean, the guy's just on board. So I look forward to all their events, and I wish, you know, I respect the fact that they don't do them monthly, but I wish they would do them monthly. So I'm stoked to talk to these guys. There's a cool backstory to this. I want to find out about it. I don't think these gentlemen who are fighting in the main event or in one of the fights here don't like each other a whole lot. So
yeah, it would appear that way.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to seeing what the backstory is on that and figuring out. You know, I'm going to see. This is. I tell everybody at my work, I don't like to get involved in drama, but I'd love to be a part of it. I don't want it to be involved. But I'm going to try to twist the knife and see if we can't stir up a little crap this evening with our Mr. Sioux Fighters here. So,
right on, man. Before we get rolling, let's give some shout-outs. You know, as always, we like to thank our sponsors. You know, BrawlBase.com, Game Changer Clothing. You can look them up on Facebook. GatorMMA.com, FutureFighters.com, and Crossroader Clothing as well, CrossroaderClothing.com. We just thank them each and every week. We thank them multiple times. You know, without them guys, we wouldn't be here. So thank you for all that you're doing for our show. Thank you for all that you're doing for the sport. And we appreciate it very much here. So, you know, speaking of Future Fighters, check out the website. They got the magazine coming out, I want to say April 15th. Got some talking with Bryce Fishinghawk out there. And it looks like he wants me to be a contributing writer for the magazine. So looking at setting up some topics and setting up doing something for them and kind of helping, you know, the future of the sport. And just excited about it, dude.
That's wicked awesome. I'm very happy for you. I know you enjoy doing that, and I know, you know, Future Fighters is friends of our family here at Full Guard Fight Radio. So you know, big things for them, and you know, we'll push that magazine as much as we can to help out, because I think it's very important what they're doing, and I think obviously without that generation of fighters, I mean, we lose the sport we love. So. I think you're doing big things. I think you're doing, a huge service to the industry. So, you know, I'm looking forward to getting to seeing the magazine and, you know, seeing my my co-host on print. When I hear him on the radio on Thursdays, I like to see him in print, too. So,
I can't wait, man. I can't wait. But, yeah, I mean, check out the website, futurefighters.com, and you know, just support what they're doing. It is awesome, like you said, dude. It's very awesome what they're doing, because they're taking good care of the kids, and they're really looking out for the kids and doing a lot of good out there at Future Fighters, and the good people, Barbara and Bryce. So I love being in association with them, and I've actually had a pretty cool week myself. I've been training at the gym each day this week with three of those Future Fighters, you know. As always, I get to go to the gym every day with Ethan, with Lionheart, and Junior there, Juan Junior Marty. But we get a special treat for the next 7 weeks. We have Jacob the Bull Brown down here, staying with the Blevins, and they've been in there every day. I actually got some rolling in this week with Jacob. Kid's a beast. Tapped me out a few times. Did tap him a couple times because, you know, whether he's a beast or not, I'm twice his size. So,
but he is what, 7? I mean, if you're not tapping
him, ten. He's 10. He's 10.
Well,
now, come on.
Fair enough. But
happy belated birthday to Lionheart Ethan Blevins. His birthday was just a few days ago, and he poor kid, he's nursing a nursing a broken collarbone, so he's not training for a few weeks. He's coaching and watching and learning and doing some some work, but no nothing with his arms. So looking forward to him getting healthy so he can Jacob can roll. So it's gonna be a good week, man. What's up?
No, is it too soon to call him a Sally and just be like, listen, you gotta push through and you gotta get out there with the broken arms. I mean is that too soon? I'm just kidding. I'm absolutely just kidding. I mean, they're friends of our family here. So we wish his speedy recovery to get him back out on the mat to do nasty things with your body parts. So looking forward to getting him back out there. But broken arm, poor kid. How old is he?
He just turned 8.
He just turned 8 years old, man. I can just imagine my son with a broken arm. It would be a nightmare. And then with him just being so amped up to train and whatnot, it can only be worse for him.
Yeah. It's awesome to sit and watch. Junior and Jacob rolled the first night he came in. He got here. I want to say it was Monday. They got here. Or no, I'm sorry. Friday. They got in Friday, and they're gonna be here for about 7 weeks. Pretty much for the point of just training at Gator and getting Jacob some experience before they move out to California. And Junior and Jacob got into about a 20-25 minute roll, and they just kept going and going. And it was good. It's an amazing thing to watch, as an adult to sit there and be able to learn something from a couple kids is an awesome feeling. And it was one of the best rolls I've seen, best grapples I've seen. So it was awesome. Jacob did end up tapping him out about 20-25 minutes in, but Junior showed major heart and just major skill. Both Junior, Jacob, and about 5 or 6 other people from Gator are going to be competing at COPA this weekend. So we got a lot of people representing out there at Gator, and should be a great weekend.
Before we get into our interviews tonight, cause we got a couple good ones. We're going to Ryan Benoit shortly here, but I want to touch base just briefly. I think one of our MMA Madhouse members is going to COPA this week. Do you want to explain who that is and how we're doing with it?
That is myself. I've been training a lot this week. Just came from about 4 hours at Gator today, and I've been there for 4 hours each day this week. So they're pushing me hard. Daniel Blevins is not going easy on me. He is definitely testing me, testing my spirit, and testing my endurance and testing my ability. So they've been pushing me hard this week, training, rolling with a lot of people, and I'm competing Saturday and just kind of hoping to. My only expectations for myself for this first one is just get out there and do it. No expectations on win or loss. On just do my best and get out there and do it. So,
let me ask you a question. What is your most nerve wracking? What are you most nervous about going into COPA this weekend? Here's why I ask that question. Because I'm nervous for you. I'm a little bit concerned about you. I mean, you're fairly new at this, and I just don't want to see you go out there and get hurt. So I guess I'm kind of wondering how you're feeling, coming up to your first event here. Are you nervous? Are you antsy? I mean, take me through it.
I mean, I'm not really nervous right now. I'm starting to feel a little bit of nerves here or there. I guess probably my biggest thing is I don't want to embarrass myself in front of my grandmother, my parents. My mom, my dad, my grandma, my sister, and my girlfriend will all be there, as well as a lot of people from Gator. And I'm not feeling so nervous right now. Just a little bit. I've been feeling it as I think about it, but it's the first time I've ever done this. And honest to God, a year ago, I could have never guessed that I would be doing this right now. So, I was telling Jason off the air. I've been with Madhouse just under a year. May will make it a year as being part of Team Madhouse, and I wouldn't have thought to save my life would I be doing this within a year, actually competing in a tournament. So I guess I'm a little nervous about that. I'll probably be quite nervous when I get there, when I'm looking and realizing, this is about to happen. But, it is what it is. I'm going to test my skill. I've been training hard. Daniel says if I trained as much as I talked, I'd be the best in the gym. But That's, I mean, he says, you know, Matthew, you were born for radio. You were born to talk because you pretty much don't ever stop. So I do. I've been putting in the work and putting in the time, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. You know, my parents are worried, of course. I guess as parents do. My mom called me today and she's like, you know, and I'm 27 years old. I'm an adult, and she usually doesn't question any decisions I've made. And really, I don't think she's questioned decisions I've made in general for the majority of my life. They've pretty much always just trusted it and known that I'd make the right decisions. And she calls me today and goes, you know, Matthew, are you sure you want to do this? Like, you know, what happens if you get hurt? You know, asking typical mom questions. And I just said, Mom, I'm not going to get hurt. If I get hurt by any means, it's from my own stupidity. You know, if I'm not smart enough to tap when I know I should tap, then that's my fault. But that's not going to happen because if, you know, I told her, if I get in a situation where I know I can't get out of it, if they're going to get me, then I'm going to tap. No shame in tapping. There's only shame in tapping and not learning from it. So,
I want you to tell me there's no shame in tapping. I want you to go ask Big Nog if there's any shame in tapping.
Big Nog? Big Nog's on a different level than I am, man. Big Nog is like a lifelong jiu-jitsu practitioner, never been finished before in his life on the ground, never been submitted. And he can still say that he's never been tapped. That arm was broken before he started tapping. So his tap didn't count because his arm was broken and it was already over. So we're on way different levels.
I agree. Let me while I'm going to call Ryan, I wanted to tell our listeners a little bit about because you know I don't know it. I know grappling tournaments. I know Naga. I don't know Copa very well. So just take us through the style of tournament that it's going to be. Is it like a single elimination, that kind of stuff? And I'll go see if we can get Ryan on and we can move into our show.
All right, man. Right on. Yeah, man, for anybody just joining us, we're going to be interviewing a couple guys that are fighting on the MFC 37 card up in May. And tonight we got Ryan Benoit and Anthony Burchak on, going to be coming at us. So these guys don't like each other very much, and we're looking forward to this interview. We're looking forward to getting heated. But, yeah, I mean, Copa America, it's one of the biggest, you know, tournaments in the country. They travel everywhere. They do everything. And it's similar to Naga, a little smaller, but still a very very large grappling tournament that travels the country and does some awesome things. And this one is actually going to be it's in Lakeland, Florida, this Saturday at the Lake Gibson High School. If you're in the area, want to see some good stuff, you know, I'm not saying come out and watch me, that I'll be the best out there, but it's going to be some awesome stuff going on. Going down out there, you know, Jacob the Bull Brown is in town. He'll be competing out there. Juan Marty Jr. is competing out there. And there's just going to be a lot of people out there, a lot of good stuff, man. We got some great people at Gator that are going to be competing, and it should be a great night. So it's going to be this Saturday. It starts at 10 a.m. out at Lake Gibson High School in Lakeland, Florida. So if you're in the area, want to watch some grappling, want to watch some jiu-jitsu at work, jiu-jitsu and wrestling, a little mixture of both, and come check it out. It should be a good time. Basically, it's just going to, you know, it's all ground. It's all basically wrestling, jiu-jitsu work. It's all ground grappling, and we'll see how well my training's done so far. So, we're going to, like he said before, he's jumping out in the queue. He's going to, I believe we got Ryan Benoit ready to go. So we'll go ahead and jump in, man. Ryan, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. My name's actually Benoit. I know
Benoit.
In Canada they say Benoit a lot, but we pronounce it Benoit.
Okay.
Oh, fair
enough.
Right,
my bad, man.
I apologize too. I said Benoit myself, so I apologize to you.
No, it's okay.
In my defense, the only person I ever knew with that name was the wrestler Chris Benoit. So I just assumed that.
I get that a lot too.
He's a thing of the past, and you're a thing of the present and the future, man. So what's a little bit of your background, man? Where do you come from, and how'd you get to where you are right now?
Well, a little bit of a long story. I began wrestling when I was about 10 years old in Virginia, and wrestled all the way up through high school. Wrestled my freshman year in college, so that was pretty much my base. After I wrestled in college, I moved around training a little bit. I've done a little bit of boxing and a little bit of grappling and stuff. The UFC was getting real popular. MMA was getting real popular. And I came back, I went to school in California, and after I came back home to Texas, and I joined Saxon Muay Thai, and that's pretty much where I've been since then.
Right on, man. You got to, you're quite the Legacy Fighting Championship veteran there. You got a few fights that put them in a few good wins. So what else, what kind of, are you at the gym right now? Are you training right now?
Oh, yeah, I just put my hand wraps off and gloves off to come over here because I kept my phone right there because I was thinking maybe I'm wrong or maybe they forgot, but any, just in case, I wanted to keep my phone next to me so in case you guys called, so I was ready.
Right on, man. We appreciate that. I got a lot of respect for that myself. You know, I've been training a very short time, and I understand the importance in that, especially when you're in a fight camp, the importance of what you're doing to get ready for your fight. So definitely got a lot of respect for you to take some time to talk with us tonight.
Well, yeah, it's all good. My second training session today, so we were just moving around a little bit, doing a little bit of pad work and a little bit of takedown drills, but nothing too crazy. Kind of taking it easy tonight. I did strength and conditioning, a little bit of weightlifting earlier today, so kind of cruising tonight, so it's all good.
Hey, Ryan, let me just ask you a question. Coming up into a fight like you, I know you're a little bit away from the fight. How often do you train? Do you pick up training when you're closer to the fight, or do you train more now and then kind of tail off?
Well, you know, it's kind of typical to most guys. During my off season, kind of I like to call it, you know, I do a lot more technique, and I try to, you know, I lift weights a lot, so I try to put some size on. But like these coming weeks that are going to start coming up, we're definitely going to start picking up the pace a lot to, you know, probably 3 training sessions a day, twice a week, maybe, but definitely 2-a-days. Closer to the fight, you know, you stop focusing so much on technique, and you just kind of drill what you know and drill what you're used to, because you don't want to confuse yourself too much and try to learn stuff right before the fight. Sometimes it'll create bad habits. You'll be thinking about it and then try it. And sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't work. So real close to the fight, probably 2 weeks out, you know, it's mostly just a lot of conditioning from then and trying to get the weight down. But, you know, right now we focus on a whole lot of technique and doing some different drills and practicing stuff that I like and, you know, trying to get rid of bad habits and create good habits. So we definitely, you know, we keep it pretty well over here.
So right about now is when you're starting to implement your game plan. Is that the way I understood that?
Well, yeah, pretty much right now it's kind of more of working on myself. You know, I try to, like I said, stop the bad habits, try to create good habits because, you know, when you take some time off, you come back and you're a little bit rusty right at the beginning. So right now we're trying to get rid of that rust still and, you know, put some size on. I was planning to drop down to 125, so I really started tapering off and started to try to get my natural weight down. But then we got this fight at 135, so trying to put a little bit of size on again and get a little bit heavy, mostly put on, you know, a few more pounds of muscle. So that's where we're at right now. Is trying to pretty much get strong, work on technique, and in the next couple of weeks we'll definitely start picking up the pace a lot more. Try to get in real good fight shape. About 3 weeks out, we kind of want to 2 to 3 weeks out, we want to peak, and that's when we're going to be at pretty much the best condition. You know, the week of the fight is pretty much just the weight cut and going over what you know.
Okay, let me ask Brian real quick, Jason. I want to know, like, jumping from Legacy Fighting Championships up to the MFC, you know, those are two really big promotions. MFC, you know, MFC is one of the top 3 in the world, and Legacy Fighting Championship itself is a huge promotion. What's it like, though, making that jump? Because they're so, you know, you're going from fighting at Legacy out in the Texas area, and then you're going to be fighting on a huge scale out of MFC. So, I mean, what's that been like to make that jump?
You know, it's definitely like a dream come true. You know, I've been watching MFC for a while, and you know, they're definitely, I think they're probably the number 2 promotion in the world. But, you know, Legacy is also a good promotion, too. It's definitely the best one in Texas. It's going to be a little bit easier, I think, to transition to MFC because, you know, I've been there. I've fought on live TV before. I've had the cameras in my face and stuff. And, you know, I'm kind of used to it, but we'll see how it goes. It's definitely a lot different. You know, I feel like I've definitely stepped up because MFC and Legacy, you know, Legacy is good, but it's not MFC, not even close. And you know, I'm proud. I think the transition. I think it's going to be an easier transition.
Very cool, man.
I just want to ask you: have you had any experience with Mark Pavlich? Have you had a chance to sit down and talk with him? Have you had any experience with him?
Yeah, I had a chance to talk to him earlier today. Actually, Mark's a great guy, and he was. You know, we were talking a lot about the promotion and a lot of stuff and what we're going to try to do in the future. And, you know, I'm real happy. It seems like I'm going to have a good relationship with MSP. And, you know, I'm really happy. Mark's a great guy. It's definitely a step up in the promotion. You know, Legacy is still kind of somewhat of a local thing. They're televised on AXS TV, but, you know, MSP is another level of promotion. It's definitely a huge step up in the game, and Mark's a great guy, and I'm really proud. I'm happy with where I'm at right now.
Absolutely, you should be. Let me just ask this. So with your contract, you don't have to get into like financials, but with your contract with the MSP, is it an exclusive contract, or do you go between Legacy and MSP?
No, it's an exclusive contract. It's just going to be MSP for the next year. You know, I kind of went over it a little bit, but it's pretty much just going to be MFC from now on, unless I decide to take, like, you know, a boxing match or a Muay Thai match or something, but I doubt that's going to happen. I would rather just stick with MFC. Legacy is great, don't get me wrong, but I definitely want to stay with MFC. I like the Legacy promotion, but one thing is it's still kind of a local promotion, and so it's kind of a conflict in a way. This is kind of where I was having a little bit of trouble because it's going to be a lot more comfortable to go to MFC because I'm not fighting a guy that's going to be from the area, you know what I mean? So I don't have to worry now about going to another gym and possibly fighting a guy that's there. And so I can go to all these gyms and I can train with everybody now without having any pressure of possibly fighting the guy that I'm wrestling with.
Sure. Ryan, this MFC 37, you're fighting Anthony Mershak, I believe the person else is. You guys are not the most friendly of friends, is that correct? Is there a reason for that, or is there some backstory that you want to get on?
It's just fight hype, you know what I mean? Talking smack to each other, it's just part of the game, you know? It's not going to be anything personal, at least not on my part. You know, it just gives hype, and it's an intimidation thing, but, you know, at the end of the fight, it's not like we're going to have beef with each other or anything, but, you know, I think it's going to be a great fight. It's the first time I've ever kind of had, you know, a little bit of a smack talk to each other, you know, so it's really cool. I actually like it. It kind of makes me giggle to hear the things that he's saying, because clearly he doesn't have any idea who I am or where I come from, and, it's just part of the game is how I look at it.
Hey, Ryan, real quick, Jason, I'm reading this article here that was a lot of, you know, I guess that interview with you, Ryan, and it's saying here that you said you've developed a Chuck Liddell style. Now, that could be really good, that could be really bad. Now, part of that, I really hope that you're not going to leave your hands hanging out and stuff.
No, not at all. I'm talking the early Chuck Liddell career.
There we go. Okay. I just wanted to make sure of that, because early Chuck Liddell was unstoppable, but later in his career he started leaving those hands down, and everybody was knocking him out. So
protect
that face, man. Protect that head.
We're definitely an early Chuck Liddell type of style. The reason I say that, actually, is because, you know, Chuck Liddell wrestled in college. He grew up wrestling, too. And when he went in and started to become a big name, he was known for having good stand-up. And a lot of people actually forgot that he was a wrestler. So that's why I say that I have, like, a Chuck Liddell style, because after my last couple of fights, people kept talking about my Muay Thai or my kicks or my hands or something like that, and I was like, you guys don't understand, I grew up wrestling, so that's why I say I got the Chuck Liddell style, because definitely a wrestler, but definitely like to stand and bang with people.
Right on, man.
That kind of segues me to the next question. I just wanted to know what kind of fight we can expect from Ryan Benoit when we get kinked for the ring, I guess.
Definitely an entertaining fight. You know, I keep the pressure a lot. You know, I like to stand up with people. I like to bang. I always have wrestling in my back pocket. That's my comfort zone. But, you know, the more experience I get, definitely standing up and throwing hands and kicks is starting to become my comfort zone, too. So, you know, it's definitely going to be an entertaining fight. I'm not sure if he's a submission guy or anything. You know, I've had a couple of submissions, but I definitely think even on the ground it's going to be a lot of banging. It's not going to be so much of a jiu-jitsu or a wrestling match. I think it's going to be a great fight, you know. He likes to bang with people. He's not afraid to get hit. I'm not afraid to get hit, which, you know, makes a big difference. Both of us are good on the ground, so you're going to see definitely a lot of action, a whole lot of action, I would say. Wrestlers are real explosive. They're real active, you know, even during wrestling matches. And we got two good wrestlers that, you know, we like to bang with each other. So it's going to be a great fight.
Yeah, you feel pretty comfortable, obviously, when it gets to the ground. You like to stand. What I mean, I don't want you to give too much away because we're going to have your opponent, Anthony, on the show later. But what techniques are you kind of working on? You're finding your way with? Do you feel comfortable with jiu-jitsu? What are you working on, I guess, is what I'm asking.
I'm pretty much working on the same things that I always work on. My theory is when it comes to fights is, you know, I don't change up anything about me. I don't change my style for another guy. I let him change to try to get prepared for me. So, I pretty much work on the same stuff I work on. I train at a great, great gym, Saxon Janjiro Muay Thai, 6-time Muay Thai world champion. And, you know, I still keep up with wrestling a lot. Yeah, I still go through my normal drills, but just like you learned in high school, because I try to keep it to where, you know, I got into this because of wrestling. And so I'm definitely not going to neglect wrestling because this is what got me here. And just because I'm starting to become a stand-up guy doesn't mean I'm not a wrestler. So, you know, pretty much the usual stuff. I like to stand up. I like training with Saxon. He brings in a lot of, a whole lot of different Thai guys that are from around the world. We get this guy, Samat Payakarun, who's they say he's the greatest Muay Thai fighter that ever lived. And I've trained with this guy for 6 months at a time before. And, you know, we're constantly getting new guys that are, you know, pure Muay Thai guys in here. So it's been great. One thing that's funny is I saw that Anthony's having a seminar, and he's bringing in a Thai guy who actually has come here to train with us before at my gym. So I thought it was really funny. You're bringing in a guy that I've trained with to train you. You know what I mean? So I look at it a little different. To me, it's funny is because we don't pay him to teach us. We teach each other. We work with each other. It's not teacher student with a lot of guys. He's bringing in somebody that I've trained with before. So I thought it was funny. It was pretty cool.
Hey man, we're gonna we got a few more minutes here before we wrap up. Let you get back to your training. I do want to ask you some kind of a topic of the night, something we're going to have some discussion about later in the night. But I'm sure you've probably seen or heard something about this Fallon Fox, this transgender fighter out who's just fought at CFA 10 out here in Miami. I don't know how much you pay attention to the news and the MMA stories, but it's kind of been everywhere. Just kind of want to ask your opinion on the matter. You know, she's a transgender person who I believe has been a woman since 2006, you know, born a man, fighting in women's MMA and kind of running through her opponents very easily. You know, what's your opinion on that? I mean, it's a touchy subject. You know, I don't want to put you on the spot here, but it's just kind of something it's a big issue right now. She's having a lot of trouble out there with the California State Athletic Commission. I mean, just briefly, you know, as I don't want to put you on the spot and make you talk about something that maybe you don't want to. But what's your opinion on that? Whether she's a woman or a man, what do you think about the matter?
Ooh, this is a touchy subject, man. I don't want to offend anybody. You said it was a man that became a woman.
Yeah, yep. She's born a man and has been a transgender since 2006 and lives as a woman now and fights in women's MMA.
Man, that's interesting. That's different. I've never heard of it like that. But you know, I don't know, this is a hard one. I definitely it kind of sounds like it's unfair. I don't know what's going on around the world. This is the first time I've heard of it, but it definitely sounds like something different. I am a fan of women's MMA. I like women's Muay Thai, women's boxing. But, you know, that's a That's a different one. I've never heard of that.
Hey, Ryan,
it seems like it's a little bit unfair. I got to tell you one quick story of about a, they call it a beautiful boxer. It was a Muay Thai world champion in Thailand, and it was the same situation, a man that became a woman. And, you know, they call it the beautiful boxer. If you see her now, it looks like a woman, but she turned out to be, you know, one of the greatest Thai fighters and fought men, didn't fight women, fought men, and was still able to be, you know, multiple world champion. So, you know, it's definitely, it happens, but that's kind of a, it's a weird subject. I don't know how that one's going to go through.
That's cool, man. I didn't want to put you on the spot. Just kind of something I wanted to ask about. I actually think we got a. I'm gonna let Jason take over here. I think we have a caller who actually wants to ask you a question.
Yeah. We got a caller. You okay with taking a call on the
air? Yeah. It's okay. It's fine.
Cool. Warrior, are you still there?
Yeah, the Warrior's here. First of all, Babyface, it's a pleasure to speak to you instead of tweeting you back and forth.
Listen, it's nice to meet you.
I normally wave that Texas flag as high as I can, but I hope you've learned how to fight off your back, because I think you've bitten off a little bit more than you can chew. Anthony is an outstanding fighter. He is the marquee. He is the new thing in the MFC. When they signed these 135s, Pavlich went about it because he knew he was getting a marquee fighter, a guy that shouldn't be fighting you. He should be fighting Uriah Faber already. And though I respect you and I respect you, let you be known, you are the bottom rung. You are the stepping stone to Anthony's success. But
All right. You know, I apologize, Ryan. He told me he was a fan and he wanted to talk to you, and it's been a while, so I apologize for that. You know,
no, it's okay. I've kind of talked a little smack to this guy. It's okay. I think it's funny. This is what I was saying. It's entertaining to me to get to this next level, to where you are going to have haters and you are going to have people talking smack to you. So I'm actually, I think it's cool that, you know, we're at that level to where, you know, people are going to talk shit to you, and you got to, you know, got to defend yourself and talk back, or you can't, you got to, you know what I mean? I think it's cool. It happens in all around the world. It happens in every sport. You know, this guy's definitely a huge, huge fan of Anthony, and he clearly doesn't know who I am, and he clearly has never seen my fight. So, you know, it is what it is.
Well, the only person that's going to be talking shit on our radio show is us.
It happens, you know. I've seen this guy. In my opinion, he's just another one of these guys that probably never competed in anything his entire life and just wants to be a critic. And that's the easiest job to do, because he doesn't do anything. He doesn't step in there and fight. He doesn't know what it's like to be in there, you know, and it's going to happen. He's a nobody to me. I never heard of him. I've seen he's a self-proclaimed, I don't know, best interview or whatever his shit is, but he's a nobody. He's garbage. He's just one of the guys that I just brush off and laugh about.
Well, let me rephrase that then. The only people that talk shit on our show are us and you, because I appreciate it.
Well, that's not good. I kind of expected it. I was thinking that maybe it's going to happen. This guy's been blowing me up on Twitter, and so it's all good.
Ryan, we appreciate you coming on. Before we let you go, tell anybody where they can find you. You got Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, I don't know, whatever the hell social media is out there now, whatever you got. Tell everybody where they can find you, and the sponsors if you got them.
Oh, yeah, definitely. My Twitter account is @BabyfaceBenoit. I don't know how to say the Facebook one. I don't want to give out an email. But definitely got to thank my sponsors for sure. Lockout Supplements. They've been with me since day one. If you guys want supplements, all these people, you got to go to Lockout Supplements. They really have the cheapest prices. And if they don't give you, if there's something that's not the cheapest price, talk to them. They will work out a deal with you and give you a cheaper price or match the price of somebody that, whoever the competitor is. Definitely got to thank my trainer, Saxon Jangira. I got to thank Jesus Chavez, all my training partners, J.P. Cole, Will Campuzano, Borzu, Charles Bird, Jason Sampson, Johnny Bedford, a lot of guys. Also got to thank Oren from KO Reps, Pete Spratt. You know, if there's anybody I left out, I'm sorry. I'm kind of put on the spot here, but definitely thank you guys. I got to say thanks to my fiance Melly, for sticking by my side this whole time. Supporting me, and you know, thank you to everybody. Thank you, God, for giving me this opportunity to be an MSC. This is the next level, and I can't wait to see what happens.
Absolutely. All right,
man.
Best of luck, Dina. We'll meet you after the fight. We'll get you back out, and we'll talk about it. How's that sound?
Yes, sir. It sounds great. I'm excited.
All right. Cool. Thanks, Ryan. Have a good night, bud.
Yeah, have a good night, Ryan.
Thank you. Talk to you later.
Well,
yeah,
that was a little out of the blue, maybe uncalled for.
You know, if you want to call in and talk to a fighter, that's cool. We're all for that. But you know, don't fake us out there and tell us you're gonna want to ask a question and then start dogging the guy. So you know, it's kind of classless.
Here's my opinion on that. I don't mind, you know, so much if they're gonna come on. You know, for having a controversial guest, Ryan, he was very, very, you know, respectful when we asked him about the beef. The beef between he and Anthony, you know, he didn't talk any trash. He wasn't, you know, being disrespectful or anything. I have no problem if there's somebody on here running their mouth and they're shooting their mouth off, then, you know, come on and defend it. But, you know, just to attack a guy who was just being very, very respectful and, you know, I don't know. I'm just not down with that. I'm you know, you speak your mind. You know, we have a talk show to go ahead and speak our mind. We do all the time, but I'm not going to let somebody just attack a guy and tell him he's a stepping stone and, you know, he shouldn't be fighting this guy and whatever. So, you know, I appreciate where you're calling in. He said first time caller, long time listener. I appreciate it. I hope we didn't run him off. And, you know, I hope him and Ryan can continue their Twitter beef, but, I mean, it's not going to happen on our show. So I appreciate the call. You know, we'll move on from that, I guess, right?
Yeah, right on. Go ahead and we'll get Anthony set up. And yeah, like you said, man, he was very Ryan was very classy, very respectful. You know, like you said, when we brought up the talk about the beef, you know, he was very professional about it. Seems like a very professional kid and somebody I'm sure is going to have a long, long, healthy and long, good career in this sport, you know. And as you said, you know, we have no problem with trash talk. We have no problem with, you know, calling in and wanting to stir the pot on some stuff. But, you know, be respectful about it. Don't come on here and try and call somebody a stepping stone, like Jason said. You know, it's just not cool. So we do appreciate that you're a listener, that you wanted to call in and stuff. Just, you know, maybe handle it a little better next time. But while we got this minute, real quick, give a shout-out to our sponsors, as always, BrawlBase.com, CrossroaderCooling.com, Game Changer. Look them up on Facebook, FutureFighters.com, and GatorMMA.com. Each one of those organizations are doing great things for the sport. Doing a lot of things for, you know, for the kids and for the local MMA. So check them out. I also want to give a shout out to Bushido Martial Arts Supplies in Spring Hill, Florida. It's a great little martial arts supply shop. Got MMA stuff, got karate stuff, taekwondo. If you need it, he's got it. And he's about to increase his supply in a big way. So check him out in Spring Hill, Florida. We're going to jump right in. We got Anthony Burchak with us. How you doing tonight, man?
What's up, guys? How's it going?
That's pretty good, man. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, so real quick, before we start to jump into some conversation and stuff here, you know, tell a little bit about yourself, where you came from, and how'd you look forward, or how you're getting ready for your MFC 37 fight in May.
Well, my name's Anthony Burchak. I'm 9-1 as a professional with 8 finishes. I finished all my fights in 2012 via KO or TKO. Before that, I was known as a submission guy, so I'm kind of mixing it up and becoming the full package here, or as Mr. Benoit would say, well-rounded. I'm born and bred here in Tucson, Arizona. I got one of the best camps, you know, underrated, and we got some of the biggest killers here. You know, George Roop, Ed West, Joey Rivera, Fred Lux. You know, I train over at Rise Combat Sports with Chris Carriasso, so I got a lot of talent here in Tucson that gets me ready for everything.
Right on, man. So have you started your fight camp yet?
Oh, yeah, I started my fight camp as soon as I read that article that he put out with the MFC.
Right on, man. Well, you brought it up, so let's jump right into it. What was your feelings? I mean, I've read his article, and then I just finished reading some of your response to it. You know, what was your first thought when you read that? You know, obviously, I saw that you stated about you didn't think somebody could fit well-rounded into an interview that many times, but what were your initial feelings when you read that article?
Well, it's just like I heard him tonight. I feel like if he repeats a word, you know, over and over again, that it's going to drive the point across a little bit more, and, you know, it doesn't. And, you know, I keep seeing, you know, once I started reading everything and just kind of, you know, you know, strolling through the lines of text and stuff, I was just like, man, you know, he says I don't know who he is except for, you know, I've seen, you know, his legacy fights. He wrestled at Menlo College, and I had three of my good friends that wrestled at Menlo College, so I already know what kind of style of wrestler he is. You know, I've already talked to my homeboys that, you know, went and wrestled up there. You know, it was nothing special. I don't even think he saw actual mat time, you know, which the difference between me is, you know, when I was at a junior college level, we had a D1 schedule. You know, we were seeing Stanford and Oklahoma State, you know, Air Force. We were seeing all these big-name teams, you know, and I wrestled at the NAI level as well. And when I was at William Penn in Iowa, so, you know, I've seen Iowa, I've seen Iowa State, I've seen Ohio State. You know, I've seen all these great wrestling schools. So I don't know, you know, where he's got his information from or where he got his wires crossed. But, you know, I've obviously been a little bit more seasoned and battle-tested than he is.
Right on, man. You want to jump in, Jason, or? Oh, I guess my co stepped away for a minute. All right, man. Well, I mean, you've come off, like you said, you've got a lot of big finishes. I mean, it's been quite a while since you've seen a decision, gone to decision. You finished guys many different ways: arm bars, triangles, arm triangles, Bravo choke, and you've got a few 2KO victories. Where would you say you're most comfortable as a fighter? Is it on the ground or standing up?
I'm comfortable anywhere. You know, it's been such a beautiful journey that I've been on. You know, I've had great teachers. I've trained with some of the best ground guys in the world. You know, I've been able to go train at Extreme Couture. You know, I actually was supposed to go to Drysdale's for the last camp that I fought out in Albuquerque, and I didn't. But, you know, that would have been awesome. I got guys like Sean Huff, you know, Demetrius Ramos here in Tucson that is a BJJ Revolution. You know, and I originally came up under Drew Fickett, who wrestled at Pima College, where I ended up wrestling at, and he ended up, you know, he has the record for MMA right now for rear naked chokes. So, you know, I feel comfortable on the ground. You know, I've been making that transition to a stand-up fighter, and, you know, I think Benoit's fight, or Benoit is, you know, having one of the pitfalls of a wrestler learning striking is you get lured into this really false sense of security that you're a stand-up guy, you know, and that's the thing is, you know, we both come forward, we both like to bang, like you said, but, you know, come May 10th, I'm going to show the entire repertoire of what I bring to the table. You know, he may just be a wrestler, Muay Thai fighter, but I am the complete package, so.
Right on, man. Now, what's your thoughts? We had a guy, I don't know if you were listening before. I guess you were. You said you were listening to him. This guy, you know, we had a caller call in trying to say he was a fan and then just kind of started dogging on Ryan. Now, you know, yeah, there's been some trash talk between you two. You guys are getting ready to fight each other in a couple months, but, you know, do you think it's kind of out of line for somebody to call in and start and to kind of degrade him and stuff like that? I mean, it's kind of taking a little step far, I think. If there's trash talking between you guys, that's whatever. You guys are going to step in and go to war. That's expected. But, I mean, what's your thoughts to this guy calling in and saying that he's a stepping stone to your career?
I mean, you know, I've seen him on Twitter a couple times. I've seen him fire a couple comments at Ryan. But, you know, it's a part of the game. You know, I mean, whether I trash talk or he trash talks, you know, as in Ryan trash talking, you know, it's not a big deal. You know, like you said, it's just part of the career. People, fans are going to be fans. You know, they're going to have stuff to say about the fighters. I'm sure some of his fans, you know, don't think too highly of me. So, you know, it's not my business. If someone wants to, you know, have an attack on my behalf, you know, I'm not going to stop them. So.
Right on, man. Respectful. Definitely respect that. Hey,
Anthony. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, clearly.
I was trying to talk, and apparently you guys can hear me, so I apologize to you. I just want to know, so we're a few weeks, you know, out of MFC 137. Take me through your fight camp right now. I know we were just talking about, you know, kind of, you know, getting riled up for the fight as far as the trash talking and things like that, but take me through your fight camp. Where are you at right now in your fight camp? Are you putting in new game plans? Are you kind of, you know, working, tweaking on some stuff? Where are you at right now in your fight camp?
Drillers are killers, man. Drillers are killers. That's what, you know, my coach Joey Rivera says, drillers are killers, and it's the truth, you know. It's just the constant repetition of what I do and what I do best. You know, I'm going to go over and over and over again. I'm not changing anything, you know. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. So I'm, you know, working on certain defenses, working on certain offenses that work, towards my advantage and what's been winning me fights and stuff. Obviously, you know, Anthony Berchak is an evolution and has been and will be. So I'm always trying to incorporate new things without completely stumbling over a technique and messing myself up for an entire camp. But, you know, I go over a lot of my wrestling, a lot of my jiu-jitsu. You know, I've been practicing, you know, my stand-up. I go with a lot of Mexican boxers, so I know that kind of, you know, that kind of technique between shields and parrying, you know, punches. And I go with, you know, Rise at Rise Combat Sports, which is owned by UFC flyweight Chris Carriasso, who is actually bringing in a Muay Thai guy. And I heard Ryan say that, you know, I'm bringing him in when I'm just supporting my friend's gym. And it's actually Nunxiam The Rock, who is Chris Carriasso's Muay Thai trainer. So he's bringing him in. You know, I'm going to get a good opportunity to work with him. Ed West, you know, I don't know if you guys saw Bellator last week or the week before that, but, you know, Ed West had a beautiful highlight KO, head kick KO, you know, and yep. Those kind of weird Taekwondo angles that he brings, I'm starting to assimilate that. You know, every once in a while you'll see training partners start to mirror each other. You know, he's picking up my wrestling. I'm picking up his style of kickboxing and Taekwondo strikes. So it's very deceptive. You don't know what kind of angles the kicks are coming at. You know, and I'm trying to incorporate everything in together. I'm a student of the game, and I will always be.
You're fighting at 135. Your walk around weight, your weight cut, things like that. Is that the week prior to the fight, or are you pretty comfortable right now? Can you get down, you know, anytime and fight tomorrow if you needed to?
No, that's different. You know, I'm pretty big for a 135 pounder, and that's kind of my secret, and I want to keep it at that. But, you know, let's just say I'm not one of these tiny bantamweights that Benoit's been beating up, you know. And he sounds like he's already got his mind made up that he wants to move to 125s, and come May 10th, I'm going to solidify that decision on his part. So, but, you know, my weight cut, my camp, I got everything down to a science. You know, I've been using products like Sweet Sweat USA, which is a topical thermogenic, which really, really helps the weight come off real fast. So shout out to them. But, you know, I got a great camp that we, like I said, we got everything down to a science. I know where and when I need to be on a certain weight. You know, I believe we're 8 weeks out right now, and I'm eating comfortably. I drinking comfortably. Everything's as it should be until probably about 3 or 4 weeks from here. I'll start really grinding it out.
Okay, so May 10th, MFC 37. What happens from there? Are you signed with the MFC for an extended period of time? You have, you know, are you thinking bigger and better? You know, grass is always greener on the other side, kind of thing. Or where does Anthony Berchecki go from here?
MFC is my home, man. You know, Mark Pavlich is the one that's invested in me. He believes in what I'm doing and what I'm trying to accomplish, as well as I in him. And you know, we talked earlier today, and you know, anytime I hear him talk, I just get electrified. I get motivated. I
agree.
See direction. I don't know
Same
if you've
here,
ever heard
man.
That guy talk, man, but that dude gasses me up. I start pacing. You know, I start driving my car like a jerk, and I'm like, yeah. So
We had him on our very first show, so we're both very very familiar with that, man. We barely had to ask him any questions. He pretty much just rocks the interview himself, and we got to sit back and
you know,
and enjoy
it. That's a great part about him, you know. And I can talk. I can talk for days, but you put me on the phone with Pavlich, and I'm giving you one-word answers, you know what I mean? I'm like, yes, sir, you know what I mean? And that's – but like I was saying, you know, MFC is my home. You know, I plan to be the MFC's first bantamweight world champion. You know, I'm not looking past Ryan by any means. I know he's a talented fighter. You know, he's finished 6 fights. So, you know, the thing is I'm going to implement my game plan, and that will always, you know, be my saving grace and you know, the way that is best for me. But I do have my eyes set on that belt, and I plan to be the first bantamweight champ coming out of Maximum Fighting Championships.
I it's so funny because you talk about Mark Pavlich, and I was telling somebody just last week, I think, on the show that when the guy talks, I feel like running through a wall. I called him one day. It was like I tweeted him. I asked him a question. He said, "Call me at the office." I said, "Mark, it's 3:00 in the morning." So I called him, and it was noon. I mean, the guy's just fired up, you know. I'm like, "Holy cow!" But anyway, what do you like to do outside of training? I mean, you can't train 24/7, right? I mean, or is that just the way you're wired?
No, you know, I mean, my camp, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I do 3-a-days. You know, I do something in the morning, noon, and night. And then, you know, on Tuesday, Thursdays, I kind of take it easy, maybe only do 1-a-day, 2-a-day, depending on, you know, strength and conditioning and what my brother's got going on, who's my strength coach. So, but, you know, I got 4 kids, and you know, I'm always playing daddy and trying to, you know, run a household. My beautiful girl, Mercedes, she's kept me so mentally stable, you know, for these last 3 fights. It's honestly a great, great journey when you have somebody that has, you know, the same view and the same goal, and you guys are trying to get to the same place. But I have Burchak Fight Designs. Look it up on Facebook. I do corner banners. I do walkout shirts. I got a walkout shirt coming out for Barb Honchak for Invicta, so keep an eye out for that shirt. I just did a corner banner for Shannon the Cannon Rich. He'll be fighting out in London March 9th. So I do a lot of graphic design. That's what I went to college for, you know. And unfortunately, well, not unfortunately, fortunately, I was better at beating the crap out of people, and I kind of took that route instead of finishing my degree, but I'd always like to go back and get that little piece of paper, you know.
Absolutely. I got to ask you. See, I have 2 kids. My wife and I have 2 kids. And 4 kids. Are you crazy? I mean, how do you keep it all straight?
Hey, when I'm in camp, they're in camp. You know what I mean? Like, I got these little dudes popping and locking. The girls know exactly what to do. Mercedes takes the kids aside and says, listen, kids, daddy's in camp. Leave him alone, and he won't rip your heads off. So the kids know the drill. You know what I mean? They're very good. And actually, you know, the weight cut hasn't been really bad these last couple times. I got it dialed in. I know what I'm doing. I'm not grumpy. I'm not cranky, you know, and I'm trying to really be a patient father when I'm, you know, when the nose is to the grindstone.
It's crazy. You know, I work a full-time job. I come home and I'm just like, how the hell do I do that? You got 4 kids doing all that stuff. So let me ask you. So Mercedes, she's been a support for you. Was she in the MMA realm before you, or did she get in the MMA realm with you?
No, we actually met through a local promotion here in Arizona. We were actually kind of talking crap to each other on Facebook. I was like, well, who are you to be, you know, doing this and that? And she's like, who are you to be questioning me doing this and that? And we kind of just had, you know, some playful dialogue, and, you know, time ran its course, and we kind of ended up, you know, crossing paths a couple more times and, you know, just took it from there. But, you know, I train her, and she had a fight for Tough Enough this last year and beat a good opponent, Danielle Mack, who was actually 5-0 in amateur boxing. And Mercedes really put her hands to the test and ended up getting a unanimous decision victory over there in Las Vegas. But, you know, she's my manager. She's my confidant. She's my best friend, you know, my girlfriend, the mother of our kids, and the captain of the household, basically.
I mean, it's got to make it a whole lot easier with, you know, you guys having, you know, the house being, you know, joined by MMA. So it's got to make it a little bit easier. So
let me tell you something never to do, though. Don't ever cut weight when your significant other is cutting weight. That is just a war zone waiting to happen, I'll tell you.
I can imagine. Hey, Anthony, before we let you go, brother, tell everybody where you can find you on Twitter, Facebook, you know, whatever you got, man. Sponsors, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you.
Right now, you know, I'm super active and interactive with my friends and fans on Twitter and Facebook. I got the Anthony Burchak fan page on Facebook, which is facebook.com/AnthonyBurchak. Hit me up on Twitter, @AburchakMMA. Like I said, I'm always doing giveaways. You know, I'll always tweet my fans back, you know, get into conversations and stuff. But, you know, a lot of my sponsors – oh, sorry. I need to make sure everyone knows that when you guys go to buy tickets, it's ticketmaster.ca, not ticketmaster.com. The .com is the U.S. So make sure you go to ticketmaster.ca, you know, buy the tickets to this fight, guys. This is going to be an explosive fight. Both of us come forward. You know, we like to pressure. We like to throw hands. This is going to be an awesome one. So ticketmaster.ca to get your tickets for MSC 37. I want to thank Contract Killer, Mentum Eyewear. They're going to come out with a promo code here soon. It's like probably going to be Burchak MMA or something. But they're going to give you a percentage off of eyewear. I want to thank Five Round Fury, Dr. Rick Katuth at FiveRoundFury.com, Training Mask, Vibram Five Fingers. Thank you to Tyler Allen at Vibram. He just sent me 3 brand-new pairs of shoes so I can start training, doing all my CrossFit stuff. And Exclusive Customs, Las Vegas. Mike Rochoa, thank you very much. Obviously, Mercedes White at Lucha Elite, you know what I mean? She's been the end-all, be-all to the career and my uprise right now. My training partners, Ed West, Fred Lux, Chris Carriasso. Guys, watch George Roop. He's coming up here on UFC Montreal, the GSP Diaz card. He's going to be fighting Ruben Duran, so watch that fight and make sure you support my team. And then our head coach and gym owner of Apex MMA, Joey Rivera. You know, none of this would be possible without, you know, me being able to train there. So I just want to thank everybody, man. You know, this has been a great ride, and keep an eye out for me on May 10th, man. It's going to be nasty.
Best of luck to you, Anthony. You know, when we after the fight, we'll get you on, and we'll talk about how it went down, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right,
hey,
man. Good luck to you, brother.
Thanks for joining us, Anthony.
Guys,
good luck
you.
On the 10th, man.
Thank you, guys.
Right on. So,
so
you know what? I mean, that's going to be a sick fight, dude. I'm going to have to figure out a way to watch it because, unfortunately, Bright House doesn't get Access TV. And I've been lucky the last couple MFCs to actually, like, kind of be on a little mini vacation, be in a hotel room, and actually got to watch most of MFC 36 and most of MFC 35, because pretty much any time you go to a hotel, they've got whatever cable hooked up to where you can get Access TV. So I'll be figuring out how to watch it on May 10th because, you know, we talked to Chris B3 Barnett last week, and he's going up against, the heavyweight title there. And then, you know, these two guys, Ryan and Anthony, should be a sick card already. You know, that's probably, I can see that as a big time, an early fight of the night there. So I think those guys are going to tear through each other. It should be a great fight.
You know, I'm looking forward to seeing it because of the backstory, not so much. Anthony, you can tell that he's definitely geared up, ready for the fight. You know, I mean, he's. What do I say? I don't want to say a showman because I don't think he is. I think he's very confident. I don't think he's cocky. He didn't come off as cocky to me. I think he's, I think he's doing what he needs to do to sell a fight. And I'm looking forward to seeing the fight. To be honest with you, I think it's going to be a good fight. Both, you know, two fighters who are very confident and who are very skilled. I don't think it can be a bad fight. So I'm looking forward to seeing. I mean, you know, I had no problems with him. You know, being as confident as he was. So he comes across very, what's the word I'm looking for here, Matt? Comes across very,
I would say he's very confident in his abilities and very confident in what he's going to do.
Yeah, it's not, there's a word that's, you know, I don't know, it's late and I'm over here on the East Coast, but I'm definitely looking forward to the fight. I think this is going to be a great fight. I think we're going to come into maybe fight of the night possibility here, that kind of thing. I think these guys are ready to bang is what I'm thinking, you know, is what I'm trying to get across here as I'm stammering over my words. So
absolutely.
I think these guys are ready to go. You know, and you can't get a bad fight when you get two guys who are heated, who are invested, and who are just ready to fight. So I'm looking forward to it. So it doesn't take me another 25 minutes to tell you how I feel about the fight.
Right on. And before we move on, you know, that's Maximum Fighting Championships 37 on May 10th. Already got a few great fights put together, and the fight card's only going to get better. Mark Pavlovich and the Maximum Fighting Championships never put out anything less than top-notch MMA, so it should be a great night of fights. We're going to get into a little bit of a different aspect here with our next interview. We're actually going to be interviewing the owner of ProAmBelts.com, Mr. Joshua Radkin. I hope I don't mispronounce that, but we'll be talking with him here in about the next 10 minutes or so. We're going to kind of chill and just kind of do some BS talk and then get amped up for talking with him and talking about what they're doing over there at ProAmBelts.com. Looks like, you know, from what I'm looking, I'm cruising the website now. Just looks like best in the business, top-notch belts. I mean, and these are good-looking stuff. You got many different artworks, many different designs you can get on your belts. And, I mean, that's awesome. You know, I know when I go out to a lot of these fights, I go throughout the state here. Sometimes you see some nice belts. Sometimes you see some belts that just kind of looks like they were made with bottom of the barrel tools and stuff. So when you get belts made, you want to get the best belts made. And from what I can see here, it looks like ProAmBelts.com has those best belts for you. So check them out if you're looking at getting some belts made. I mean, it's where to go. I do want to. I guess some quick. quick promo here, Jason, before we move on.
We got some big
fights going on here in the area. March 28th, Bellator 94. Bellator comes back to Tampa. You know, I'm sitting here enjoying Bellator as we speak, and do that every Thursday. I got Bellator on in the background at all times. And Bellator 94 should be special. We should have Team Madhouse out there in a double force. So me and my co-host here, Jason, should be at that event in Tampa. Should be a great night of fights. You know, first fight I ever went to was Bellator 72, and since then it's just, you know, it's steamrolled, and I've had, you know, fight after fight I've gone to. But the experience at Bellator sticks with you. It definitely resounds above many others. You know, I go to a lot of great fights, but the experience there was just so overwhelming. You know, I kind of felt in over my head at the time. It was my first time, and I was just kind of like, wow, you know, I don't even know what I'm doing here. But now that I realize I'm the best in the business, I know I belong there. So should be a great night. Should be a lot of fun getting to finally meet my co-host here in person. So we should have a great night, and we'll be rocking it out there. We'll be rocking it big time there for Team Madhouse. So other than that, here in the area, we have drawing a blank right now, but World Class Fight League 3 on March 30th. Those are my guys. Those are my buddies out there. They do great work out there. You know, as you know, they're the official amateur promotion for the Extreme Fighting Championships now, so things are only going to get bigger and better for them at World Class Fight League. Ralph Garcia and Dwayne Spires, two guys I got a lot of respect for in this sport, two guys that are, I think I could go on a limb here and say they're fans of mine as I am of them, so I enjoy associating with them. I enjoy talking with them and helping them promo their fights, and it's going to be a great night. And also that morning, they're going to be debuting their grappling tournament. It's going to be this first time around. It's going to be for the kids. It's Art of Grappling USA, and it's going to be a whole day of martial arts out there at the downtown Hilton in Tampa. So check it out. If you got kids that are wanting to do it, get them signed up. Go to worldclassfightleague.com. That'll have all the info there. You can look them up on Facebook at World Class Fight League. And if you got kids, you're looking for a good local tournament to put your kids in, that's the place to go, Art of Grappling. So I know little Lionheart, Ethan will be ready for that. You know, his collarbone will be back and good to go by then, and I know he's looking forward to doing that because he was supposed to do COPA this Saturday, but unfortunately, you know, can't do that with a broken collarbone, so he'll be looking forward to making his return there on March 30th. So check them out. Like I said, worldclassfightleague.com. While we got a few minutes here, I personally want to save the open air we're going to have at the end of the show. I want to save for the conversation little bit of a discussion. I don't think it's going to be much of a debate as far as not between me and you anyways, because we seem to both agree. But as you've seen here in the news, I'm sure if you follow MMA, there's no way to miss what's been going on here with this situation with a women MMA fighter, Fallon Fox. She fought on the CFA 10 card in Miami just this last weekend, and she got a KO victory against her opponent. And then I guess sometime during the week, kind of came out and said, you know, she's a transgender fighter. She's been transgender since 2006, and she believes that she should be allowed to fight in the women's division just like any other woman should. And it's creating quite the stir. As Ryan said, it's a very touchy subject. I never want to offend anybody. You know, the personal beliefs aside, I have no problem with the way a person wants to live their life. I would never tell a person how to live their life. Wouldn't even ever dare to do that, because each person can live their life exactly how they want to. There's no problem. But when it comes to a one-on-one sport such as fighting, I want to save it for the end of the show. So I just kind of, it's a big topic in my opinion. I want to save it for the end of the show. I just wanted to let you know, people, anybody listening, you want to call in, if you have anything to say about that, we will more than welcome the calls, and we will hopefully get into some great discussion with that, because it's a major topic. So we'll get back to that. But real quick, I don't know if you catch the UFC on Fuel fights this last weekend?
Yeah.
Wow, I mean, that's got to be one of the top free cards that they've put together, I would say.
I know that's a tall order. I guess I didn't think of it like that as far as ranking them and whatnot. But let me just go back real quick to what you were just saying briefly. I know we'll talk about it more, you know, towards the end of the show. But I you know, you and I agree on this point that we would never express our opinion on how someone should live their life. However, we'll talk about it at the end of the show. I'm afraid I'm gonna say something that I'm gonna kind of have to stammer back with. So we'll talk about it again. As far as the top three events that UFC's ever put on, I'm not sure.
Wait a second. Let me make sure we're understanding here. I said one of the top free events.
Oh, free.
One of their top free cards. Yeah.
Oh,
I didn't say top,
no,
not
no.
top three. Wow, that's a big, that's a much difference. I'm saying since they've been putting on, you know, the UFC on Fox, UFC on FX, on Fuel, and even some of the fight nights that they did on Spike. This is one of the best free cards that I've seen them put on.
Okay, then I'm down with that. I think the co-main and the main event saved the program, but I think the rest of the show kind of was a little lackluster. But no, I agree 100%. I think it was a great. I mean, I think it wrapped up very nicely.
It's you know, and that. You know, when I'm watching the Mark Hunt and Stephen Struve fight, I'm a big Struve fan. I like him a lot. I love his fight style. I wish he would fight as tall as he is, because sometimes he kind of fights like a shorter person. If you use his height and if you use his length, I mean, he'd be close to impossible to beat, especially with he's got phenomenal ground game. In this fight, I think that it was started to get sloppy. I think they both gassed out big time, and it seemed like Struve was just kind of standing there and taking punches. And I'm thinking, like, why are you taking punches from this guy? Like, you know, this dude's a beast. This dude's hit hard. Why are you sitting there taking these punches? And sure enough, I mean, it backfired. You know, he was kind of standing in there and not using his distance, his length. But he took a few big shots. You know, you see that the still shots are all over the internet. But he took some major punches. And I don't know if you saw his X-ray picture, but
the broken jaw. Yeah, that was incredible, huh?
You know what's crazy too is I stared at that picture a couple times before even seeing the jaw. I'm like looking at the crack in the skull. I'm looking at the shattered cheekbones. I'm looking at all this other stuff, and then I'm like, oh wait, yeah, his jaw's broken too. I'm thinking, dang man, Struve is taking some damage. And you know, we all know Struve took some damage early in his career, and since has kind of changed the game a little bit, become a better fighter. But I think the broken jaw is just one of many problems he's got to his skull, man. I'm like, the cheekbone just looked completely shattered. So I think he's going to have an interesting old age.
Yeah, there's no way you can take punches from Mark Hunt. I mean, it's like taking punches from, a 1987 Yugo. I mean, you're just get hit over and over. I mean, this guy's hands are like cinder blocks. So
yeah.
When he's standing there, you know, he said himself he was gassed. He, you know, he couldn't. It's funny, the quote when he was laying on the ground and Herb Dean stepped over him. He thought that he was trying to tell Herb Dean just to take the tooth out of his cheek. He thought he got a tooth knocked out and it was in his cheek.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
When it was his cheekbone or his jawbone. So, but no, I like Stephen Struve. I've always liked him. I think he's got a lot of heart. He's like, I wish he would fight as big as he is. That's a great point. I feel like he kind of tries to, I don't want to say intimidate his opponents, but, you know, he tries to get, you know, be taller than them and kind of, like, look down like the Jolly Green Giant kind of syndrome. But I think if he really fought as big as he is, he'd be unstoppable in the heavyweight division. But we'll see. I know there's been a lot of clamoring for JDS versus Yarkon. It's not going to happen. Overeem's injured, but the fight's going to continue probably around the 4th of July weekend. A lot of people have been calling for it. And Dana said that Mark Hunt turned the fight down. It was posted a couple hours ago on Twitter that Dana said Mark Hunt turned the fight down, and Mark Hunt tweeted back that he definitely did not, and he tweeted that, you know, he definitely did not turn down a fight, never turned down a fight in his entire life, and, you know, it is what it is. So.
Yeah. And real quick, before we jump in with Josh from Pro Am Belts, that main event, I mean, that was just phenomenal. I forget the ref's name. I believe it's Woodard. I think it was Woodward or something like that. Not a familiar ref, not one of the common ones, but not one that I'm familiar with anyways. But I thought he made phenomenal decisions in letting those two fight. In that first round alone, those guys were dropped. Each guy got dropped probably about three times, but their fists never stopped going. That was the pure definition of brawl. They just unleashed on each other for that entire first round, and that was one of the best rounds I've seen in a long time. I absolutely loved every second of it. Vanderlei always fights like that. Sometimes it goes bad on him. It went bad for him in the Chris Lieben fight. You know, they got in the clinch, they started brawling. Vanderlei got rocked and then tried to clinch with Lieben, and Lieben put him out. But, you know, sometimes it works for him, sometimes it works against him. But that's been Vanderlei's career. That's I guess, probably one of the things that's made Vanderlei one of these, like, everlasting fighters who it doesn't matter how old he gets or who he's fighting, you go to watch him fight. You know, when he's on a card, it's like something that you're like, you know, I have to see that, because his fight style is just so phenomenal, and it's made him a lasting legend in the sport. And Brian Stann, a guy that I'm a big fan of, much younger fighter, much less experienced than Vanderlei, stood toe-to-toe with him for a solid round and a half. And it was just an amazing fight. And then Vanderlei's finish, man, just to the right, the left, and then go down and just, you know, boom, boom, couple more just to make sure he's finished. Just phenomenal fight. I think it's a very, very likely possibility for fight of the year, and we're only 2 months into this year, and we've got a lot more UFC fights. But personally, I just think that's an early candidate for fight of the year. Just one of those fights you can watch over and over and over again and still find something new that the fighters did that was amazing. So I loved it.
Yeah, no, I agree. And every time you get Vanderlei Silva, you Mark Hunt, Vanderlei Silva, they come. You know, there's some people on Twitter that are tweeting that, you know, pride never dies in this. And they're actually right. Pride fighters just come to knock your block off. I mean, you can look Shogun Uwa, Dan Henderson, you know, Vanderlei, Mark Hunt. These guys just, every time you see them, they're in a war. Friggin' Shogun. Every time the guy comes out of the cage, whether it's win or lose, his face looks like hamburger. You know, it's like the guy just is in there just fighting. And, you know, Vanderlei was no different. You know, I really think, and the big ups to Brian Stann, to be honest with you. I mean, he knocked Vanderlei down. Vanderlei knocked him down. I mean, they came to fight. There was no, you know, there was no feeling each other out kind of thing. It was, you know, we're going to come in here, we're going to bang, we're going to fight, and we're going to put on a show. And it was, you know, he had great heart. You know, he really did, Brian Stann. And, I'm over the story. I mean, he's a veteran. I appreciate his service and whatever. But
absolutely.
That night he was a fighter. You know, he was a fighter, and he was a man, and he came to fight. And I appreciated it, and it was a great fight. And it's DVR'd. I DVR most of the UFCs. And I've watched it a couple times, and you made a great point when you said the referee, you know, made a great call. I mean, he could have stopped that fight easily in a couple different spots, and he didn't. He let him fight, and it was well done, and I enjoyed the fight.
I think Kim Winslow would have had that fight stopped a lot earlier.
I know. So, Kim Winslow would have let other people come in the ring or in the cage and just start, you know, brutalizing
them. Battle Royale.
Big Show
start jumping out of the roof, and before you know it, the Dudley boys and the Hardy boys are coming in, and it's a table ladder chair match in there. So,
did you happen to see before I go to Josh? Did you happen to see Monday Night Raw? Are you into wrestling? I know we're not a wrestling show, but did you happen to see Monday Night Raw this past week, the week previous?
I didn't. I grew up a huge fan, and it's been a little while since I watched, but I catch a little bit of Impact Wrestling here on Thursdays when I turn on the TV, get it set up so that I can jump on the show, and I do catch some of my favorite fighters from the Raw era actually fighting in this Impact Wrestling, but I didn't catch them all on Monday.
That's what this past one was, and I'm not a wrestling fan, but I heard everybody talking about it being old school Raw, and it was pretty cool. You know, you get Ric Flair out there, and you get some of the you know, the New Age Outlaws and stuff. It was pretty neat. So I just was thinking about it. It brought me back to my childhood, so it was kind of cool. And you're talking about battle royales and stuff like that. So, you know, well, it was pretty neat. So I'm going to go see if we can get Josh on the phone. So do what you do best, brother.
All right, man. Yeah, well, he's doing that. We want to give a quick shout-out to our sponsors, like always, ForAllBase.com, CrossRotorClothing.com, Game Changer. Check them out on Facebook, Game Changer Clothing, FutureFighters.com, and GatorMMA.com. You know, check them out. If you're looking to train some, if you're in the, you know, Hernando, Pasco, Pinellas area, you want to train some MMA, looking for a good place, looking for a nice laid-back place that's really unorthodox and really open, no turn away, check out GatorMMA. $60 a month, no contract. If you're unhappy, just go. You know, no questions asked, you know, but guarantee if you come give Gator a chance, you're going to be happy with what you see. So check them out. You know, they're in full association with FutureFighters.com. What Bryce and Barbara over at Future Fighters are doing for the kids is just awesome, taking real good care of the kids. They bring a lot of integrity to the sport and to the table, so check them out. They're doing great things. Going to be supporting some support for Future Fighters and Gator on Saturday when I step out there for COPA. So check them out. Check out FutureFighters.com. Great people, and just love being associated with them. You may see me doing some writing there for the Future Fighters magazine, which debuts in April. So with that said, I'm going to go ahead and jump in with our last interview of the night and talk some belts. So Josh, man, thanks for being with us tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Hey, not a problem, man. I mean, first and foremost, before we talk about what you do at ProAmBelts.com, how did you get into doing that stuff?
I mean, it's a crazy story. I used to own two MMA cages, and I was traveling across the country, renting them out every weekend. And I got to the point where I kept seeing all these different leagues, and they all had the same belts. And I'm getting sick of seeing the same belts. And I'm like, something's got to change, you know. Why do fighters want to fight for the same belt in Ohio and for the same belt in California? You see what I'm saying? Everybody, the belts don't mean anything anymore, you know. So I wanted to make a statement and say, hey, promotions, spend some money, let's do some badass belts for you guys. That way your fighters want to have a cool belt, want to fight for it, want to be motivated to sell more tickets, want to be proud to wear something other than a plastic title belt. From boxing, a boxing belt for MMA fighters. We see it all the time, don't we? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, that's how I got into it. You know, I was renting out the cage, and I had all these contacts of promoters that loved working with me, and I made the switch over, sold all the equipment and the business for all the cages, and made the switch over to making belts, and now we have our own exclusive stock lineup of belts, and we've been getting a huge response in the past couple months, and you know, that's pretty much how we got into it a couple 2 years ago.
Right on, man. And so, I mean, what, you know, what exactly? Go ahead, Jason.
So I was just going to ask you: do you have somebody that's working for you as a designer, or do the promoters who come to you they have like kind of an idea and they pitch this idea to you? How do you get? Because I'm looking at the pictures on the internet, and I mean, some of them are incredible. You know,
oh, they're pretty cool, aren't they? Yeah, so promoters, they'll contact me, and it'll be either two things. It'll be, hey, I like your stock belts, give me one of those, or, hey, I want my own designs, and I'll tell them, okay, send me your logos, send me any ideas that you have, and then we'll do up a computer mock-up of what the belt will look like, and we'll go back and forth of basically approving it, you know. It's kind of like a tattoo. You know, you just don't walk into a tattoo studio and say, hey, make me something cool. You know, you got to bring your own ideas to the table, you know, and so then we'll add a little bit to it, working pretty close with the promotions.
Now, what's the process when, you know, somebody, say I'm, you know, I own XYZ promotion, and I come to you and I say, you know, this is what I want. Where do you go? What's your next step? What is your process to producing these belts?
So what we do is you'll send us the logos and we'll have a conversation of what you want. And then a couple days later, we'll get you a computer graphic of what the belt will look like. And then I'll send it to you, of course. And then you'll say, hey, I like this, or hey, change this a little bit. So we'll go back and forth and make changes. And then once everything's all said and done, you like the color of the outline, you like the way it looks, and we say, okay, we're going to start making this belt. and then we start making it. So it usually takes us about 2 weeks to make the belts. And lately with, you know, shows are every Saturday, you know, Friday or Saturday. The past couple months, we've had about 5 different deadlines each Saturday. So now it's taking a little bit longer to make the belts, incorporating, you know, all these big orders with customs we've been getting. So it's still real fast turnaround time for us making the belts. But the process is pretty simple. It's just kind of time-consuming because it's us doing the artwork for you. And, you know, we're trying to see what best you're going to like of the belt. You know, instead of you doing the artwork, then it's kind of easier. But we got to go back and forth with the artwork process. So that's sometimes time-consuming. But the main thing is, we want you to be happy, you know, so we're not going to make a crappy belt for you because you're representing, you know, the belts we make for you, and plus it's going to be your belt and other people are going to see it. We want you telling everybody how cool it is, you know, a real metal belt compared to the plastic ones that everybody seems like they're getting lately.
You know, this is really kind of an interesting concept to me because growing up, Matt and I were just talking about it earlier, a couple minutes ago, you know, I watched the WWF when I was growing up, and you'd see the different belts all over the place. Now, the belts that you produce for these different promotions, do you do the metalwork yourself, and is this just like a laser, how does that break down?
Yeah, so there's, you know, like someone can get engraving, you know, so that's a laser involved into it as well. And like if you think about the WWE belts, those are a little bit more on the handcrafted because they're so deep with the etching that there isn't really a laser out there. So pretty much when we do our belts, we're not going to make them to the point where they're like the WWF, where they're really, really, really expensive because it takes a lot of handcraft involved. But we'll use a lot of the lasers and the epilogue machinery. And, yeah.
Okay. Now, different promotions, do they, you know, say they're champion, does the champion get to keep the belt and then they just make another one, or is it just kind of passed around? How does that work?
Well, it all kind of depends on the promotion, you know. So my best advice to people is if you know you're going to spend a couple bucks on a nice custom belt, you know, you don't want someone just to keep it necessarily. You know, you want to say you're going to have to defend it a couple times, or even sign a contract saying, you know, you'll defend it, and if you do 3 or 4 times, you can keep it. But, I mean, it's pretty much up to promotion, you know. It depends on where people's money situation is. You know, I've had some customers in the past where they're ordering, you know, a couple belts every month, and they're letting the fighters keep the belts, but, you know, they have more financial support compared to some of the other promotions I have don't really have that money in the bank, where they can just keep giving away $300, $400, $500 belts, you know, every month. So it's pretty much up to the promotion. But a lot of them, what we've been doing is I recommend, hey, you know, save the money, invest it, and say, you know, the fighters have to defend it in order to keep it.
Sure.
That seems pretty fair to me, you know, instead of just winning it, just winning one time and then running off and then they'll never see him again, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you said you got into it kind of by, I don't know if it was by accident or just by your own annoyance with seeing the same belts over and over. How did you get into owning some cages? Is that just something that you kind of fell into as well, or did you say, well, no?
Yeah, kind of, because it was about 5 years ago, and I used to compete. And my main goal when I started competing, I said, you know, I want to learn the business, and I think the best way to learn the business is to be in the business and fight. And so when I was competing, I was talking to all these promoters and finding out how they're running stuff and making good connections. And what happened is I ended up tearing my ACL. And I was thinking, I said, what do I do to stay involved in MMA with a torn ACL? And I was talking to one of the local promoters, and he said to me, hey, you know anybody that can rent a cage out? And I said, you don't own your cage? You rent it out? And he's like, yeah, you know, it's, you know, $1,500 you rent it out for, blah, blah, blah. And that night I got a phone call from another guy I used to compete for asking if I knew anybody that wanted to buy a cage. So I put two and two together, and, yeah, that's pretty much how it took off right there.
Oh, all right, man. So, I mean, if I'm looking through these pictures here, dude, and I mean, it's awesome. I like you said, you go out to fights and you see a lot of belts that look exactly the same, and you're just kind of like, all right, this belt looks like a belt I saw at a fight 3 weeks ago.
Right,
I've been there.
Right, yeah.
I've been there,
yeah,
too. I'll go out and I'll see some of these belts, and I'll, you know, look at these, and I'm like, this kind of looks like a belt that somebody had for something else, took a label off and put a new label on it. And it's just kind of like, where's the pride in that? As a fighter who comes out and wants to, he's competing for this belt, that fighter wants to have something to show for it. He doesn't want to have somebody else's, you know, old belt that's been shined up and had a new name put on it. They want a belt that was made for them, and they want a belt that they can they proudly defend. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, what
I mean, even with our
I guess I'm trying to think of the words of how I want to ask it, but basically the artwork is massive. Like, the amount of designs you have is just phenomenal. I mean, where does that come from? What kind of a team do you have working on the artwork that goes towards these belts?
Well, we only have two people that help out with the designs right now. And, you know, I'm getting overloaded with the designs that are wanted from customers, because everybody wants their own custom belt, you know. And, you know, so we have two people that are working with us for designs. So eventually in the next couple months, we're looking to expand even more with having more people help us out with the design work and stuff. But it's real complicated to do design work, and that's the hardest part, is the turnaround time to get people a finalized, approved version of their artwork. You know, so it's just complicated to do it. You know, anybody that does anything with computer graphic artwork programs can understand that it doesn't take, you know, one night to do a mock-up version from scratch for someone's artwork. And, pretty much in a couple months, we're looking at trying to find some more people that are really into, you know, like a lot of the clothing companies are real good and they can do their artwork and stuff like that. So we've had some people contact us that say they want to help out with designing the belts.
You know, Jeff, I got to be honest with you. I'm looking at these belts and I'm thinking, I have a six-year-old son who just would fall in love with these things. So I think, I don't own a promotion or anything, but I think I might have to order one for my son here, because he would love one of these things.
You know, what's funny about that, too, is, you know, I've sold some belts before to parents that were helping out with charities for kids that had cancer. And, you know, we do some sponsorship program for them. But, yeah, I mean, they're a huge hit, you know, with kids, adults, fantasy football leagues, fantasy bowling leagues. And, you know, our stock belts, I make them kind of vague where they're not just geared towards MMA. Even though I come from my MMA background being in the business, you know, those are all my main customers starting out. But now we're reaching out to all different types of businesses, and, you know, including like the fantasy leagues and stuff like that. And the main thing I want to do is, you know, I want to make them affordable, which they are. They're only 150 right now, and I want to make them awesome. You know, I want to change the variety of the designs that we have every couple months. You know, it's kind of like, you know, if you want a T-shirt and you go to the mall and you walk into a store, you're like, man, they only got one T-shirt here. This place sucks. You know, so I don't want it to be the same thing with my stock belt, you know, where they go to my website, oh, you only got two stock designs. You know, so each month we're going to be keep adding to our variety of stock and reaching out to more people, you know, like the kids. You know, kids love WWE. Well, now they can have their own belt, but it looks cooler, and we can have it customized with engraving their names or even putting, you know, like a picture on the side plates of them. You know, you have a class photo, you can just get that laminated on the side plates, and then a year or two down the road, you can take it off and add a new picture or engrave it. You know, so there's a lot of cool things that we can do with the belts, and they've been a huge hit lately, huge hit.
Yeah, see, that's kind of what I was thinking. My son is a big, you know, he likes Mario, and I was thinking to do something for his birthday coming up and things like that. But, you know, I also do fantasy football, and I'm just, like, I got so much stuff going through my head right now. Now we're not just talking your stock belts and things like that. Are those just strictly for MMA, boxing, and Muay Thai? And then if I sent you some, like, our fantasy league, our logo and stuff like that, you can do all that stuff. Is that correct?
Yep, I'm probably about... Well, let's see, what's today, Friday? In a couple of days, I'm finishing up a belt for a fantasy league, and it's a fully custom one. Pretty cool, you know. So I'll put pictures, of course, up on that on Twitter and Facebook for you guys. But, yeah, I mean, it's anything. You know, I've had People contact me for their kids are graduating from high school and they're a big football player and they won the championship and they want a custom belt with their names on it and they're, you know, so it's pretty much anything, you know.
That's pretty awesome. And, I got to be honest, before I let you go tonight, I'm going to let you, give shout-outs and things like that. But and you're also, you're spreading your wings a little bit here, too, because I'm on your eBay page, and you're not just selling books, you're selling cookware, too. So that's pretty impressive.
old wedding gifts, you got to get rid of some stuff around.
Fair enough. No, I love eBay, so I just saw you had an eBay link, and it's one of my favorite things. So, Josh, listen, man, let everybody know where they can find you, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, whatever you got, man, whatever social networking you got. So, let everybody know where you can find you.
What'd you say? I'm sorry?
I said just let everybody know where they can find you, whether it be Facebook, Twitter, whatever, Pinterest, anything where you're at, let everybody know where we can find you, okay?
Oh, okay, yeah, that's real cool. Our website is proambelts.com, and we do have a Twitter, which is proambelts. And Facebook, Pro Am Belt. There's a couple pages on Facebook. And you can find me personally on Facebook at Joshua Radkin. And pretty much I want to give a big shout out to Luke at Intimidation Clothing. Because in this industry, you run across a lot of people that are all about themselves. And I've been screwed over multiple times. And I think Luke and I are on the same page with we really want to help people out and grow together. And it's pretty hard to find in any industry, especially MMA, where everybody's just for themselves. So, a big shout-out to Luke at Intimidation Clothing because, him and I started working together closely the past couple of weeks now. And, proambelts.com. Thank you, guys.
What did you say your Facebook page was?
My personal one is Joshua Radkin, but Facebook is Proambelts. And there's two different ones. They come up pretty quick if you type Pro Am Belts.
And you're out of Toledo, Ohio, huh?
Yeah, we're in Ohio, yep. So everything with, our stock belts, we ship them same day or next day, depending on my other job. And UPS Ground, I either get them there the following day or 3 days later, So really fast shipping, and just trying to keep customers happy.
Very cool. Josh, thanks for coming on tonight, and best of luck to you, man. And I just tweeted you. I'm going to be in contact with you here. I'm going to definitely do something for my son for his birthday coming up. So I'll be in contact, and I appreciate you coming on tonight, man.
Okay, man. I really appreciate it, too, guys. You have a good night.
Yeah, you too, Josh. Thanks for being with us, man.
All right, man. Take care.
You know what, man? I got to be honest with you, man. That's like cool stuff to me. That's like stuff that,
yeah.
That's stuff that I enjoy, and I'm kind of goofy and weird like that. I like the behind-the-scenes stuff. I like to know where, how the cage gets set up, and I like to see the guys doing the work, and I like to see, I don't care about the ring girl. I don't care about...
Let me tell you, but the part about the cage getting set up, it's not that fun, man. I've done it a few times. It's a cool process to watch it, but that's about it. Being part of doing it, man, it's quite frustrating sometimes.
No, I respect that, but I just appreciate I don't care about the guys that are in the ring, and I do obviously, or I wouldn't be doing this every Thursday night. But I'd like to see how they got there, and that's why I want to talk to Burt Watson so bad from the UFC, and and I want to hear his story about how he decided to do this, and how he decided to be the guy that gets these guys fired up when they come into the cage, and just that's the kind of stuff I enjoy. So talking to Josh from Pro Am Belts, that was cool for me, and I enjoyed that. So that was interesting.
Yeah. With that being said, I do want to say before we go forward, want to say thank you, Ryan Benoit, Anthony Burchak, and Joshua Radkin at Pro Am Belts. Thank you guys for all joining us tonight. Maximum Fighting Championship 37 is May 10th. It's going to be a great night of fights, so check them out. Get tickets. Do whatever you got to do to be there. It's going to be a great night of fights. And then real quick, go ahead and give some shout-outs to our sponsors before we jump into this discussion here. But, Game Changer Clothing, CrossroaderClothing.com, BrawlBase.com, FutureFighters.com, and GatorMMA.com. Thank you for what you do for us, and thank you for what you're doing for the sport. I say it all the time, and I mean it. It's awesome. We appreciate it very much. And of course, Go Fight Live, GFL.TV, Go check them out. They got great events every weekend. They got great MMA stuff all week long. They promo our show every week, so we appreciate the help there. And with that said, we've touched on it a little bit throughout the night. To give a quick foundation of the issue. So a female fighter named Fallon Fox recently fought at Championship Fighting Alliance 10 in Coral Gables, Florida, March 2nd. She won her opponent against Erica Newsom in the first round with a KO from a knee. And not long after that, just within the next couple days after that, came out and admitted to being a transgender woman, which obviously means she was born a man and lived most of her life as a man. In 2006, went through the procedures, surgeries, did everything she needed to do so that she could live her life as a woman. Now that's obviously how she feels. That's obviously what she all her life. I'm guessing that's who she is. She is a woman, and that's how she lives her life. She's having some trouble with the California Athletic Commission in getting a license to continue fighting because she has admitted to being transgender. Obviously, she was, I'm trying to choose my words carefully. I don't want to offend anybody, or I don't want to at all say anything wrong. This is a very touchy subject. It's a very important subject. And it's something that I do think needs to be openly discussed. I don't think people need to be afraid to discuss it because this is a major topic for mixed martial arts. And it's something that perhaps could, not even necessarily mixed martial arts, but for professional sports and sports of any level. Obviously she is a woman now, and that is how she lives. In my opinion, I don't think it's right for her to be fighting in women's MMA. That has nothing against her as a person. I don't know what she's like as a person, but I know that regardless of what has been done and what changes she has made to her life, there are still basic genetics she has the genetics of a man, and I do think that is unfair for the women fighting her. A fighter we interviewed last week, Alana Jones, a couple weeks ago, we interviewed Alana Jones, who also fought on that CFA 10 card and was very victorious. So congratulations, Alana. She will be fighting Fallon at CFA 11. And I know this week from seeing some stuff on Alana's Facebook, she's not exactly thrilled about it. I don't think I'm not sure of the words to use. I don't know if you want to jump in here before I kind of
open
my mouth.
I'm gonna rescue you. I understand how you're feeling about how you don't want to offend anybody. I really think that we're in the age of where we should be able to speak freely about something, especially something so significant in the sport of mixed martial arts, when it's, we're locking two people in a cage that are supposed to be on the same level. We suspend people all the time for TOT therapy. We suspend people all the time for steroids and PEDs and things like that. I can be I'm not a doctor, I'm not a scientist, but I can speak with certainty that males have more testosterone than females. And I'm sure when you're born a man and you go through the surgical changes to make yourself a woman, you're still going to have some of that testosterone and whatnot coursing through your veins, whether you take therapy, therapeutic medicine for it or whatever. I'm assuming it doesn't reduce it all away. So we're automatically on an unfair playing field, which we suspend people all the time for. Now, being a fighter, I can just imagine that being a fighter in women's MMA and to stand across the cage from Fallon, I am not saying that she shouldn't work. I don't think we should take, I don't think we should take her ability to make an honest wage away from her. I think we should, this is America. We you know, that's what we do. We give people opportunities to make money however they want to do it. But I think that this is something that really needs to be looked at, and I don't think she should have a license, especially after she came out and has admitted to this. So I think, and she should be, I don't want to say suspended, but she should be suspended, for lack of a better term, until we can figure out exactly the fairness of this. And if it just comes out that this isn't fair for the women she's going to be fighting, whether it be because of just an unfair playing field, which we suspect people all the time for, in men's and women's. I mean, look at Cyborg, for God's sakes. I mean, you know, you can say what you want about Cyborg. She looks like a man to me, and you know, I'd say that to her face if she was sitting in front of me. But, you know, she was suspended for it. So I think it's unfair. I think we're not in a place. We're in the 2013s. I get it, but you know, we need to keep the integrity of the sport by, you know, not allowing someone who's been through gender surgery and gender transformation to fight in a combat sport against women who are much smaller, much more dainty, whether they pack on muscle or not. So that's my opinion.
Yeah.
I think you're the same opinion. I don't feel like it's fair. I would love to hear, first of all, I would love to hear somebody who's gone through the surgery. I'd love to talk to them and just see, you know, and trust me, by no means am I judging, and I'll be very honest, one of my very best friends in all the world is gay, and he always says that, I don't want to be a woman, I'm a man who, you know, I'm attracted to other men. I mean, it is what it is. But he doesn't understand this whole transgender thing. I would love to just hear what this somebody who has gone through the affirmation and the transformation be to discuss their mindset. And I'm assuming that they've struggled their entire life with who they are personally. You know, I mean, I have bad days and I wonder, you know, who am I today? You know, what am I doing? But on a larger scale, in a grand scheme of things, that I truly don't know who I am from day to day, I just think that would be incredible. So,
yeah. You know, when you say that you'd like to, I agree. I'd like to hear from somebody who possibly has gone through this. I'd even like to talk to Fallon Fox. I think that would be a good interview. I would appreciate that interview very much and have a lot of respect for her. You know, she has every person gets to choose how to live their life, and that's fine.
Absolutely.
I could never discriminate against a person. Would never discriminate. I was brought up with the beliefs of forgiveness and love towards all people. You know, I've been raised all my life in church, and I believe, you know, what I believe is that the belief system that I've had installed in me throughout my life is to love every single person, accept every single person, regardless of their decisions, because that's how it should be done. You know, you should never discriminate, and I never would, but in this situation, when you're talking about this person's decision affecting the safety of another human being when they're fighting in a contact sport, I think that that's wrong, and I don't think that should be done. I think that it's got to the fighting commissions. First of all, there's got to be one sanctioning body commission that rules over all. That when these independent commissions sanctioning bodies come together and have problems, that they can go to one true commission that oversees everything and needs to really step up right now. You know, the California Commission is the one that is dealing with this issue specifically, and I hate that this could affect somebody's dream. You know, Fallon is a fighter. She's got her heart is a fighter. She's obviously a warrior and wants to be a fighter, but I just don't think she should be fighting women's MMA. I think it's wrong. I think it's unfair to the opponents. She's worked over each one of her opponents pretty easily from what I can see of her record. She's 2-0 as a pro and 1-0 as an AMI from what I can see here, and never left the first round against her opponents. You know, her longest fight is 227 into the first round, and I think that can only stem from, and not to take away from hard work, I'm sure that she puts in mad hard work, but I think that her easy success over her opponents is for the fact that she has a genetic advantage over them. And it's unfortunate because I'm sure she works hard. I'm sure she puts in the work like everybody else. But ultimately, doesn't matter what female she steps in the cage against, she's going to have an advantage over that and over that opponent. And it's something that the opponent, no matter how hard or how long the opponent trains, there's nothing her opponent will be able to do about that because it's just pure genetics. So once again, as we've said, you know, if you're listening, if you've got feedback, if you've got something to say on this topic, please call. Please be respectful. We do not want anybody to be offended by anything we're talking about. We just strictly want to talk about a serious matter. And so if you
can
respectful.
Yeah. I don't think it needs to be disrespectful. I mean, you're going to have the people who, you know, give the name calling and just the utter disrespect, but it doesn't, you know, I don't feel like it needs to be that way. I think, I think this is a decision that Fallon has made, and I think we need to respect that decision. I mean, we're not living in her body, so we don't know what, you know, the battle she's gone through. And, you know, with all due respect, she's an incredible athlete. I mean, regardless of whether she's fighting men or women, whether she is a man or a woman. She's an incredible athlete. She's in tremendous shape. If you've seen pictures of her, she's in tremendous shape. She's dedicated, you know, things like that. And she wants to fight. She obviously has a love for MMA. So, you know, I mean, all of the pieces are there for her to be a legitimate MMA superstar. I mean, she's in incredible shape.
Yeah.
However, I agree with you. I feel that her just having genetically, you know, whether she's taken treatments and you know, they can prove that her testosterone level is the same as a regular woman's, I would imagine. You know, we're overthinking her MMA record right now because we don't know the competition she's fought. So who knows? Maybe if she gets in the cage against Ronda Rousey or Misha Tate or somebody up there, I don't know what weight class she fights in, she gets the floor wiped with her. So who knows the level of competition she fights. I mean, there's just so much right now that we just don't know. And I think it's unfair to her. I think it's unfair to her opponents. And I think it's unfair to the fans of the sport to just sweep it kind of under the rug. So she can continue to fight it without really gaining a true understanding of what's going on. And Loretta Hunt wrote an incredible article. If you have a chance to read it, it's on SI.com. And Loretta Hunt is just, you know, she does a great job with it. So I think until we can gather some significant concrete evidence of what advantages she has or doesn't have. I mean, if it comes back with her blood work is the exact same as, say, for instance, we'll just throw a name out there, Misha Tate, then, you know, by all means, let her fight. I mean, if she's just that much more superior as an athlete, I mean, her body structure is built differently too. See, I'm just kind of contradicting myself now because I would say let her fight if she doesn't have an unfair advantage, but she does have an unfair advantage. I mean, just the muscle structure alone in a man is so much more significant than in a woman. You know, I mean, I'm so much more stronger than my wife. I mean, we're not the same size. I mean, that's a bad comparison, but I'm just so much more stronger than, you know, any woman, I would say. And I'm not a powerhouse, trust me. But, I mean, just my muscle composition and things like that. So I don't think it's just fair. And unfortunately, I don't know if it would behoove the sport of MMA to have a transgender fighter in it. I'm not sure I'm on board 100% with it.
Yeah. It's one of those things that, you know, the committee that has to, you know, as of right now, it's the California Athletic Commission who is the ones that are dealing with this and having to figure out what's the right decision. Because, I mean, honestly, you know, we have our opinions on it, but, you know, this is it's a major decision. It's not something that I hope they're taking lightly as if they're just saying, oh, you know, she can't fight, let's move on, you know. I don't think she should fight in women's MMA, but I think it's a serious issue that needs to have serious thought and time put into it because you're talking about somebody's livelihood, somebody's, you know, Fallon has worked hard, I'm sure, worked very hard to get where she is in her life and get where she is in her fighting career, and that should not be taken away from her. In no way should she be disrespected or looked down upon for a decision she's made for her life. She's a human being just like every other human being is and has the same rights as those human beings. But when it comes to the fighter aspect, I think that's where it differentiates. I think that's where you have to be able to just put a line. There has to be a line drawn that says, you know what, this is a decision you've made to live. That's fine. We will not disrespect or degrade you for that. But when it comes to fighting in a full contact sport, as mixed martial arts is, it just can't be allowed. And I'd hate to be told or think that I'm narrow-minded, because I think that I'm first and foremost above anything else in this sport. There's nothing more important in mixed martial arts than fighter safety. Fighter safety is key number one above anything else, above making money, about making fights, about all the other stuff that comes with it, mixed martial arts. More importantly than knowing how to be a mixed martial artist, you have to put fighter safety above everything else. If a fighter is ever, you know, anytime a fighter steps in the cage, obviously they're putting their safety on the line, because they're stepping in there to fight another human being. And when you're doing full contact fighting, you know what, injuries are going to happen. But as long as when the cage is closed, the two people, man or woman, standing in that cage to fight each other, as long as they're put at the same, as long as they have the same chance against each other, and things are done fair and things are done right, then your fighter safety is being controlled. But when you have such a situation as this, where it's kind of like you don't know how to handle it, you don't know what you should do, I think the tough decision has to be made, and that decision is that she should not be fighting against other women in women's MMA. I don't know where they go from here. I don't know where the sport goes from here. I think this is a true test of the sport, and I'm just not sure what they're gonna do. I hope they handle it properly. When I say they, talking about the California Athletic Commission, I hope that they'll handle this properly and respectfully to Fallon as a person. And I just, you know, kind of lost for words. I just don't know what more to say. I'd really like to get Fallon on the phone and talk with her, maybe set up an interview with her very soon, and kind of get an inside perspective on how she's feeling and what she's seeing.
I would love to hear. I would love to see what she. Not to cut you off, man. I know, you know, we're just kind of back and forth here. I would like to hear the kind of backlash that she's getting, because, you said it perfectly. She is a human being, whether she can fight or not, and that's the way she chose to live her life. Who am I to judge? I mean, I'm overweight. I shaved my head. You know, she could look down on me for those. I'm assuming she wouldn't judge me for that stuff. But who am I to judge her for living her life as a transgender athlete? I mean, I can't make that decision. I mean, she's, to be honest with you, I'm going to go out on a limb and say she might be more, she might have her faculties together more than I do, because I'm not sure I can live that life, whether it be because of the scrutiny I would get, I don't know if I could deal with it, whether I'm not sure how I would react, things like that. You know, those are just incredible struggles that I'm sure she had to go through. So that's the kind of stuff that I would love to sit down and pick her brain. Not, you know, do you think you should fight in an MMA? Of course she does, or she wouldn't be in it. But, you know, I mean, she's a human being, and I'm in my real job is in the people business, and I work in the human services field, and I really tend to reach out and kind of, you know, try to look for the best in people. I never really try to badmouth anybody, except Jose Canseco on Twitter. He's the only one that I ever really badmouth on Twitter. But I would love to sit down and talk to her, and I've actually tweeted her, and I hope that she gets back to me. I don't know if she has a Facebook or whatever. And it would be very respectful, and I would be very, you know, I know you would be as well, Matt, because I can kind of sense the kind of guy that you are. We would absolutely be respectful on the show. And, you know, early with Warrior, when he was getting it at
Ryan.
You know, it's kind of all in good fun. You know, I'm not mad at him. I'm not, you know, he can call back and he can say what he wants. I just don't want people to feel uncomfortable on our show. We're not, you know, we are not someone who, you know, we can't afford to have
some of our guests belittled and just say they're not going to come on again because I really want to talk to Ryan again after the fight, win or lose. You know, so, you know, Warrior, I'm not mad at him. I mean, you know, he's calling in and, you know, he does his thing, and I'm cool with that, whatever. I mean, I'm just not going to have, you know, Phelan was on. I'm assuming we would have kind of a, it would kind of be a, you know, an interesting show. So, but it would be very respectful and things. So, I'm stammering now. So, we're kind of just all over the place with this. But I guess the long and short of it is I would really love to talk to her. And I just personally, and I would tell her, I personally don't feel like you should get an opportunity to fight ladies in the ring, in the cage, in MMA, just strictly because of this. And if she could prove to me that this has no effect on her as a different person, then I would apologize to her 100% and say, you know what, then who am I to tell you can't fight? So it is what it is, and I mean, maybe in the future we can have her on and she can explain herself, but right now I think she's got kind of bigger fish to fry than Full Gear Radio on a Thursday night. But who knows, maybe we'll get her on. Maybe we'll be one of her first interviews. That'd be kind of cool.
It'd be an honor. It would be an absolute honor. As you said, we would both handle it professionally and respectfully. You know, neither one of us ever mean disrespect to anybody. We try and handle every interview the best we can. You know, we're not the top guys out there, but you know, we're proud of what we do, and we take what we do very seriously. So, if Phelan were to give us the opportunity to interview her, we would absolutely do it in a very respectful and professional manner. And you know, it's a big topic. It's definitely not a topic that you fit into. 20-25 minutes of talk, but it's something that I kind of wanted to address and just kind of see how you felt as well. But you know, we just got some to switch topics here and to not really, you know, leave this behind. This is definitely not a topic that is over. It's definitely something that is going to be in the MMA news for a while, I'm sure of it, and I'll be following it closely. But as we begin to wrap up here, our boss, Mr. Mortensen, who's, you know, kind of on his deathbed right now, with his last few breaths, decided to just break some big news to us. Just posted it to the Facebook page, but we would like to proudly welcome in ProAmBelts.com as our newest sponsor of Full Guard Fight Radio. We just got finished talking with Josh Radkin. Just became a big fan of him and the website right away. So they've decided to come on board and be one of our sponsors. So we thank you very much, Josh. We thank you very much, Pro Am Belts. Check them out at ProAmBelts.com. They are the best there are. Best there are. They're best in the business. And just the designs, technique, everything about the belts, you're not going to find it anywhere else. So check them out at ProAmBelts.com. And thank you very much for jumping on board with us there, Josh.
Yeah, that's super cool. You know, he comes on and, you know, we're talking. And, you know, I was definitely down with it. I know you were down with it. And, you know, he had a great story. You can tell he's excited about his product, and he was pushing it. And, you know, he wanted to be part of our product. So that makes me feel good that we're doing something right and that we're doing something that people want to be a part of. And, you know, Josh, we appreciate it. And, you know, I'll push. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be a customer because I think my son would just get a super kick out of running around with this pretty awesome belt. And I'm definitely going to make it happen. So thank you to him for coming on board. And, you know, you scratch our back and we'll scratch yours. So we look forward to a long partnership. And I guess you can't get any better than some of the belts that he's got. They're pretty awesome.
Absolutely. We're getting ready to wrap up here. Another great show. As always, you know, we bring the best in the business. We may not be the best individuals. I like to consider us as a team and as a team Madhouse. I like to consider MMA Madhouse as the best in the business. And we all just come together to that collective to try and to really press Carl's dream, Carl's passion of supporting local MMA. And it's an honor week after week to get on here with you and to be part of Team Madhouse. So once again, you know, we brought another good show, some great interviews tonight. Once again, thank you to Ryan, Anthony, and Josh for jumping on the show with us. And, you know, we'll be back next Thursday, as always, Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you know, thanks to all of our sponsors, ProAmBelts.com, CrossRotorClothing.com, Game Changer Clothing. You can find them on Facebook, FutureFighters.com, and GatorMMA.com. Thank you all very much. And you're doing great things for the sport, and we appreciate being part of it. So we'll see you guys next
Matt,
week.
Well, next time, before we head off the air here, good luck to you, my friend. Next time we talk, you're going to have one fight under your belt, my man.
Yeah. I'm going to do my best. That's all I promise.
All right, brother. Well, good luck to you. We'll see you again next Thursday. We'll go to Fight Radio. Take care.
All right, man. MMAMadhouse.com. Check them out.